Thank you.
The music we're listening to is the creation of Sebastian Sarrazin, and we've invited Sebastian into the studio with us this evening. Hi, Sebastian.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, and thanks for bringing your music in with you.
Sure.
This is all of your composition?
Yeah, everything is original.
Okay. And we're gonna get into deconstructing this music in a minute or two, but first let's just listen to a little bit more of it here. What are we listening to, Sebastian? Does this have a name?
Everything's got working titles. Right now, this one's called Fun With Drills.
Fun With Drills. Were any power tools harmed in the preparation of this music?
No.
Okay, that's good. Fun With Power Tools. And this is a cut from an album, I guess. What's the name of your album? Do you have an overall title for the overall project?
Right now, I'm just calling it Early Days.
Okay.
I have it released on SoundCloud.
And how long? Oh, you have it released on SoundCloud. Okay, well, we'll give people the URL for that or whatever they need to find it on SoundCloud at the end of this of our interview. But tell me when you first started working on this particular piece. What does it represent in terms of work?
Everything that I do is pretty short in terms of the amount of time that I spend on a piece. Mm-hmm. I usually will throw it all together in a day. Maybe I'll sort of sketch out the idea one day and let it sit for a couple of weeks and then come back to it. Typically it's no more than 2 or 3 days of actual composition.
So is that true of this piece we're listening to right now?
Yep. I put this together a few months ago.
And within the space of a day, about?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay, interesting. Let's listen to a little bit more here. Very percussive.
Yeah, I know people who will spend, weeks or months just sort of ironing out a mix, trying to get every detail just right, but it might not sound like it, but I like to keep things simple in the process.
Tell us the different elements to listen for here. I hear some really high frequency kind of sounds like almost on the frequency of a tambourine or something way up at the top end there. What is that?
It's kind of like a little shaker sample. It's I build everything in Ableton Live, so it comes with a lot of drum kits and percussive samples.
Mm-hmm.
So that was likely just something that I pulled out of a kit and just put together into a sequence and I kept repeating.
And would you treat that in any way, like raise it in frequency or something to make it sound less like its original sound?
It's pretty flexible. You can do quite a lot to it. Everything from, time stretching it so that it goes higher to just transposing it, altering the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Speeding
it up and slowing it down?
You can do everything like that. You can change the start and end point of the sample so right. that it sounds kind of clipped. It's really wide open in terms
endless,
of what you can do.
Yeah. And that's the challenge, I think, because you can almost do anything in the world. You really have to, I imagine, focus your creative juices and figure out what exactly you want to achieve. I mean, how much of it is trial and error, and how much of it is you intentionally going in and doing a specific thing to a sample?
I think I have pretty vague ideas of what I want something to sound like, but as soon as I get it there, I tend to keep it. And then once I change another element, I come back and sort of reassess the relationship between the two.
Mm.
But it's so it's kind of ongoing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you're just sort of going through the whole way, making decisions at every point about what you want to keep, what's the most important element at that point.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like it's an experiment the whole way through.
What's we got quite a low round sound here.
Yeah, that would be just the bass synthesizer.
Okay, like a low frequency oscillator.
Well, an LFO would be not audible.
Oh, it modulates a different the sound.
Yeah. So okay. This. That sort of percussive sound that it was making, that helicoptering, that would have been more of a low-frequency oscillator affecting the...
Okay, but you're working with a basic low frequency that is audible, and then you start manipulating it in different ways.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So this is another cut that's coming in. This one's called Beat Smoke.
Beat Smoke. Let's listen to a little bit of it. Okay, what can you tell us about these sounds?
So this one...
Whoops, sorry, jump in again.
So this one is made up from a single drum kit that I repeated 4 times, all playing variations of the same beat. And then a higher frequency sort of lead synth that's got what's called a beat repeat on it that makes it sound kind of chopped up. And then another... bass synthesizer that's just sort of droning on in the background there.
So there's 4 different drum kits sort of all going not in sync with each other, sort of randomly?
They're synchronized, but they're each playing a different variation of the same beat.
Oh, I see. Okay, can we hear that? I sort of hear that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So they're sort of bouncing back and forth.
It's a fairly simple beat, so it's kind of... The way that it layers up, it makes it sound a lot more complex.
Mm-hmm. Can we hear any of those samples in isolation, just to help us a little bit?
It'll take a second to pull up, but okay. I can pull it up.
Okay. I can cut this out. Is that what you wanted to do, is to
deconstruct it?
Yeah.
We could a little bit.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure how this will sound, though. I haven't opened this in a while.
Okay.
So, here, let's play the... So we can sort of solo each track.
Okay, good. Okay, so just jump in.
So this is what the whole ensemble sounds like. I'll skip to another point because I've got some heavy effects at the very beginning. So that's sort of all the elements at once. And if we're gonna just hear one drum track, this is what it would sound like. So it's playing a quite a simple beat. That's another one with slightly different processing on it.
Okay, and an emphasis on the bass drum on that one, I think.
And a little bit of distortion on everything.
Oh yeah.
So this one has some some automatic filtering on it and heavy compression.
So we don't recognize the drums anymore. You're just using the rhythm of the drums to trigger these other sounds? Is that what's happening?
It's basically running through what's called an envelope follower.
Okay.
And then the envelope follower affects a filter that is attached to it. This is what it would sound like without that.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another effect on top of that.
So these are all the elements of just of your drum track.
Just one drum track, yeah.
This is very complex. Okay. So can we hear it all back combined again?
Sure. I'll isolate all my drum tracks for a sec.
So you're just slowly adding voices back into the mix until you get the whole thing going.
Yeah.
That's really neat. Okay. And we've already talked, I think, about there was a lower tones there, that sort of the bass,
yeah,
bass notes.
We can talk about the bass for a second.
Okay.
So, I haven't looked at this in a while, but basically this is just I think it's a polyphonic synth. It's two voices on it. One is not very loud, but the other is fairly prominent. They're both just full sine waves,
mm-hmm.
and they're sort of out of sync with each other, so they create a bit of a
it's a bit of a flanging happening there, I think.
Little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's also a low frequency oscillator that's modulating the sound.
Right. Okay.
And it's modulating pitch.
Ah.
That's without it.
You can clearly hear the flanging there. Yeah. Interesting. So you put all that together and it gives you your bass for this piece.
Yep.
Okay. And what other elements are happening in there? Or did you want to have some more to say about the bass there?
No, that's
okay.
Bass is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
This melody track. So, what's happening here is basically I just sort of built a little a synthesizer that would play at a higher range,
mm-hmm.
and it's got four voices, combinations of different square waves. And basically, I just sort of set it up and then plugged in a MIDI keyboard controller and sort of tooled around on it for a little while and came up with some sort of strange random composition that I liked.
When you say a MIDI keyboard, does that look like a traditional keyboard, like the black notes and white notes?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. But it's on your screen. It's a virtual keyboard.
No, it's physical.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
You plug that in as a kind of controller trigger for the synthesizers that you said you built, but that's within Ableton, I guess. You built the synthesizer.
Yeah, it's a software synthesizer, okay. And it's controlled by a hardware keyboard.
Right.
And then on top of that, basically I put a delay. Okay. So it's got that kind of whining sound.
and an echoey kind of sound. I guess the delay is the echo part of it?
The delay is the echo part, and then the whiny part is what's called a glide or a portamento.
Okay.
So as you play each note, the pitch slides between.
Sweeps up or sweeps down? Can you control you control which way it goes, I guess?
Well, it depends which it's your current key relative to the key previous to it.
Oh, I see. Okay. So there's a little formula that's acting on it.
Well, so if you play if you play a C in one octave and then you play a D in the same octave, it'll sweep up, I guess. And then on top of that, I put a beat repeat, which within several parameters, rhythmic parameters, it plays a variation of a repetition. So it's kind of like a controlled gated delay.
But is it introducing a kind of randomness to it as well?
It has a little bit of randomness, yeah, within the variations that it plays.
Right. So it's not like a mathematical repeat kind of thing. It's changing where it's starting and stopping.
Where it starts and stops is actually the same.
Uh-huh.
But so that would be without any variation right now.
Okay.
And then I introduce about 8 variations. So it's just cycling through those.
Okay. Oh yeah, it really changes it a lot. And this is for the melody line you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So any other elements in this mix?
That's pretty much it for this one.
Can we put them all together again and listen to a little stretch? Now that we know all the different individual pieces, we had the 4 drum sets, we had the bass line, we had the melody line and the different treatments to it. And when you put it all together, this is what it sounds like. Smoke by Sebastian Sarazen, and he just gave us all the different elements that went into that, and then we listened to the mix. It's really interesting. It's not exactly the kind of tune you'd hum as you're walking down the street to go to the store, but it is.
No, and it gets weirder from there.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Okay. Well, roll a bit of it there in the background as we're talking, and I want to get into what it is that attracted you to this kind of music, and what your influences were, who are the other people making this kind of music, and whether you guys sort of compare notes, and I say guys, people, I imagine girls are into this as well. Is there a culture of this kind of music?
People sort of take their influences from you know, a lot of psychedelic stuff that was experimented with in sort of the days of Frank Zappa or even the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, cutting room floor, tape loop kind of stuff. And then obviously Walter Wendy Carlos.
Walter Wendy Carlos, yes, yeah. Of Switched on Bach fame.
Yeah, so it's pretty well established in terms of just people experimenting with electronics to try and get different expressive sounds than were available in traditional instruments.
Mm. So it started with the Moog synthesizer and as you said, even before that, tape loops and integrated circuits and that kind of thing, and has just progressed ever since. And it's been what, 40 years, I think, since this all started. 40 or 50 years, maybe.
Well, probably, yeah, something like that. Maybe, yeah, maybe the 60s was when it was just beginning.
Yeah. When oscillators had vacuum tubes and that kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and they'd be as big as your living room.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and still, you know, some real enthusiasts have not really shrunk down at all. There's huge modular rigs that take up entire walls of people's rooms. And
Are there still, I mean, does the Moog synthesizer still have any currency? Is that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So you don't throw away the old stuff, you just add new stuff to it.
Yep.
Seems to be the way with technology. So what appeals to you about this music?
Well, I guess I always really loved the sonic possibilities in terms of the instruments that you can play with electronic music. You know, I picked up basically a line 6 delay pedal for my guitar. I started playing electric guitar in high school, and that was sort of my introduction to music, and I was really into punk rock and everything like that, and this was that instrument that was like, here's how I make these sounds, this is great. But, you know, eventually I got this delay pedal that was, it was a digital pedal, but it was an emulation of what's called a BBD chip, which is... well, I won't get into the technical part of it, but basically when you tweak the frequency of the delays that come down the line, it actually changes the pitch.
Oh.
And when I started playing with that, I just got, you know, really into it. It was just really fun to be able to warp your sound like that.
So it was your first little synthesizer, basically.
Basically. And then I started hanging out at my friend Chris's studio, and he had a bunch of pedals, and he was, you know, big into... modular synths, and he had already been in it. He'd drunk the Kool-Aid a long time ago. But you know, I started hooking my guitar up to this unholy chain of really weird effects.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what came out was just this bizarre sound, and I wasn't even playing the guitar as a guitar anymore. I was just sort of playing it as a percussion piece.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's no longer a guitar. It's just basically the interface or a trigger. Could be a keyboard, it could be a guitar, it could be drum pads almost, I guess, for triggering these sounds. Is that accurate?
Well, you need a sound source. So it could be like a microphone or a sample or, you know, any kind of...
piece of a vinyl record?
Yeah, any kind of audio output.
Yeah.
And then you run it through all this effect processing, and then you know, twiddle some knobs and you get some really crazy sounding stuff.
Okay. You've even shown to me that taking the output of a mixing console and feeding it back into the input and stuff can turn your mixer into a kind of signal processor as well, right?
Or
generator.
So that's called no input mixing, and what you get are these really, really rich sounding, loud waveforms that you could you can sample or you can tweak by just changing some of the controls on the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Another experimental sort of technique, but
it's sort of exotic feedback in a way, isn't it? Built up layered feedback or something.
Yep, it's layering up feedback, and it's relying on some of the imperfections of the manufacturing process for mixers
and the circuits. Yeah,
yeah, to give you some very strange ghost in the machine kind of sounds.
So I see what you mean about this opening up just almost an endless world of possibilities. It really is almost limitless what you can do to the sound and what you can use to treat the sound. I mean, everything becomes an instrument in a way.
Yeah, and that's kind of a daunting thing for a lot of people too. And it's a well-known issue in the process that being limitless almost hinders creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to have a certain set of constraints, but I think what it's what it enables you to do is to redefine what those constraints are outside of traditional music, because you can have a computer that takes care of, you know, say a drum pattern, so you don't need to remember how to play the pattern. It just, you just hit play and let it go,
right?
And then, so what else can you do while that's happening?
So that frees you up to actually concentrate on other elements of your creation. And in a way, I guess, if you can focus that way on every element of it and build it up, then the sum total is way more than you could have created live, for example.
Live, or yeah, on your own, for sure. I mean, it just sort of it removes a lot of the conventional barriers. And so I think that, personally, I think that that really needs to be reflected in the composition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to do stuff that sort of alludes to convention, but then also is sitting just outside of it.
Goes beyond it. Interesting. Can we listen to a little bit of what we got here in the background?
Well, we're just coming to the end of a track now, but
okay.
Another one will start up soon.
Here, we'll listen to this one. Tell us about this piece.
So the basis of this piece, that kind of constant droning that you hear, mm-hmm. is it's a sample, and I think it's a recording of myself playing guitar, and basically I changed the start and end points to be very, very close together, so that and then I put the sample on loop so that it would basically be a type of waveform.
Okay. It sounds backwards to me. Is there a chance that it's backwards? Just the shape of the envelope, it sort of sounded like a backwards sample somehow.
Well, you're probably hearing that whooshing sound, mm-hmm. in the back, and that's a different element.
That's
a drum that's really heavily compressed, and the way that it comes back in makes it sort of hoover like that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, so hoover is a good description. It actually sounds like it's sucking somehow. And what's this piece called?
This one's called Kick Puncher.
Kick Puncher?
Puncher.
Puncher, Kick Puncher, as opposed to boxing.
Yeah.
Influences, Sebastian, in this kind of this genre of music. Who's out there as a shining beacon for you of creativity and originality?
Well, there's this kind of an amazing number of people that make this kind of music. I don't know if I can really say this kind, because the lines are getting blurred all the time. But
yeah.
I guess one producer that I look up to a lot is Aphex Twin. He's been making music for a very long time.
Aphex Twin?
Yep.
Okay.
Another more current one is Dimlight. Operates out of Switzerland, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a duo. Well, yeah, one duo is called Otekra, who I don't think are producing currently, but I could be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm. But you listen to their stuff and you really got off on it?
Yeah, I mean, they always, for different reasons. Every every producer or production team or band or artist or whatever you want to call it, they always seem to sort of appeal to a different side of what I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually try not to listen to them too closely, because then I just end up wanting to emulate them.
Oh, yeah.
But, I kind of just listen to a wide variety of stuff. you know, including more conventional stuff, classical stuff, heavier sort of punk rock stuff. I usually lean towards the more experimental, but also still really pleasing stuff with a groove. And then when it comes down to sort of lay down a track, I'll just put it all out of my mind and just listen to what's in front of me.
Is it this kind of music a distant cousin of rap and hip hop? Maybe not in the sound of the music, but in terms of the approach and even the terminology. I mean, you talk about producer and sort of beats and that kind of thing. You know, like, it sounds like there's very close parallels with rap and hip hop.
Well, hip hop as a genre is sort of was one of the earlier embracers of electronic techniques, like turntablism.
Mm-hmm. Using excerpts or quotes from other sources, that kind of thing.
Yep, but also, I mean, drum machines and synthesizers and, you know, everything else like that. I think the way that hip hop is sort of structured to be more of an attitude or a way of being is it allowed them to incorporate all these new instruments very quickly, much quicker than any other genre that was around or being popular at the same time. I think that a lot of the language and a lot of the beat language and song structure and everything definitely is influenced by hip hop.
Interesting. Yeah. Any other music style? You mentioned punk earlier as well. I guess they're forging out into new directions and throwing away old structures and old status quo, I guess, is would appeal to you producers.
I guess the sort of embracing that it's not about talent, it's about your attitude. Yeah. And then just sort of going from there.
Very punkish.
Yeah, and definitely the rawness and the loudness of it.
Speaking of loudness, let's listen to this here. There's a punk drum sequence if I ever heard one. Rapid drumming. Do you call this electronic music?
Yep, you could call it electronic music.
What are some other terms?
Noise, I guess, comes to mind.
You're not kidding. This is a legitimate name for it.
Yeah, I don't know if you could really call this noise so much, but I'm influenced a lot by noise. That sort of ambient or maybe not necessarily musical sound.
Found sounds, maybe?
Maybe found, but also, you know, maybe generated sounds.
Manufactured?
Sounds that are not necessarily pleasing or acceptable as music, but presented as music.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole other subcategory. Are we bordering on this here?
I would say that there's some noise elements.
I mean, you called your piece earlier Power Tools, right? Like, that falls into that kind of philosophy, if not practically speaking. I mean, you probably didn't go and record Power Tools, but...
No, I mean, kind of. It's more just talking about the sporadic, fast-paced, sort of frantic pace of the beat.
Yeah, okay.
Is alluding a little bit to drill and bass, which is like a subset of drum and bass, which is a subset of jungle music. you know, the genres get pretty crazy when you get deeper.
And then there's the whole dot matrix printer orchestra direction.
Yeah, that was an interesting piece.
So if you listen to a piece of music online, for example, would you be able to identify the composer? Would you be able to say, oh, that's a piece by so-and-so, Aphex, or?
Yeah, depending. I mean, they're definitely recognizable. Mm-hmm. I don't get them confused very often.
Hmm. So they have a real signature, real style about their music that makes it identifiable.
Yeah, I would say so.
Have you developed that for yourself?
Well, I don't know yet.
This definitely sounds like a Sebastian Sarrazin piece. What was that one called?
That one's called Casper the Little Dead Boy.
Okay, and why?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, these are sort of working titles. So yeah. They're just stuff that I hear in movies that I think is funny or whatever.
Okay. Casper the Little Dead Boy. Got some heavy-duty panning left and right here. Sounding pretty industrial.
So this one is a perfect example of a drum loop that I took from another piece, just a hip-hop piece that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took the whole loop rather than isolating each drum hit and turning it into a kit. And you can kind of hear it repeating there, and I dropped in a variation or two, and that's the drums for this track.
Can hear it. That's interesting. So where do you see this going, Sebastian? And for you, let's say, not as a genre, but for you personally, what do you have a target in mind, a goal, something you want to accomplish in terms of composition, or?
Well, I've always just been motivated by making the kind of music that I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know it's definitely not the kind of thing that's for everybody, but, you know, I've just been wanting to make music that I want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like these kinds of sounds, and I'm generally pretty happy with what I produce, so mm-hmm. it's really just a hobby for me and something to sort of keep me going, keep me sane.
Mm-hmm. Do you see images with this? Does it evoke images for you when you listen to it or when you compose it? I find it very graphic somehow.
A little bit. I mean, definitely not when I compose it, but I have sort of, in listening back to some of these pieces, I've seen them going in the direction of some kind of film score or like
an animation or something going with it.
Yeah, something on top of it, some other visual element. Mm-hmm. I think if I were ever to sort of present it in a live event, mm-hmm. I would have to introduce a lot more media to it. Probably some crazy spaces or installations or mm-hmm. lights.
That's interesting that that you would want to do that. Like that would be a part of the whole for you.
Yeah, I think to get sort of your attention in listening to this, you really need to be immersing all of your senses.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think that you must be supplying that when you're listening to it, that you've got your mind on sort of freewheel and you're providing some fireworks, maybe just in your imagination when you're listening to this. Is that part of the experience for you?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of a feedback loop. Like, I listen to what's there, and then I put in what I think ought to be there.
Mm-hmm. So it feeds on itself.
Yeah, so it is really kind of like a, I don't know. It's not like a structured sort of thing.
Very organic.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is there another piece coming up there?
No, that's it.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's the last one.
Okay, I was asking you earlier about your influences and who you listen to and who you look up to. And I think I asked you if you'd be able to play us a couple of pieces from those influences just to give us an idea of what else is out there.
Sure. I'll pull up first a song by Aphex Twin.
Okay. So
it's Cornish Acid.
Cornish Acid, Aphex Twin. If we talk on it a bit.
Yeah, no problem.
So I hear a very kind of traditional drum kit there in the background with a very traditional beat, but again, like more similar to your music, it's got some kind of unstructured melody and treatments that are happening on top of it.
Yeah, well the structure is definitely not like anything that would come from a normal sort of creative process in a group of musicians, I would say. It's very like, it kind of takes a singular vision almost.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean about the drum kit. It's just...
it's pretty conventional. It's pretty human.
And that's intentional, I guess, for a certain effect that you build unhuman sounds on top of it, maybe?
Who knows? I couldn't say.
Aphex
Twin.
I know the name Aphex just from my broadcasting background. They're makers of signal processing, and there's a box that a lot of radio stations use called the Aphex Aural Exciter, AURAL, and it adds like nice high breathy frequencies to everything to make it sound kind of spacey and intimate at the same time.
Yeah, it's possible that he took his name from their name.
Yeah.
That's been done before.
So who else have you got lined up there?
So this is Dim Light, who I mentioned before.
Yeah. Thank you. So we're listening to Dim Light, and this particular track, Sebastian says, was S-E-S-E-S-S-E-S-E-S-C. Okay, S-E-S-E-S-C.
There's a, I don't know what that means.
It looks like some kind of barcode, I think. Is it just me, or does this piece have sort of Asian overtones to it? It really sounds like it's got some...
Well, maybe. It's not what I heard, but... Yeah. That's an interesting observation.
But the first time we've heard vocal element in any of the music you played so far tonight, how common is that?
That there's vocals?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be maybe 50-50. I like listening to instrumental music too, but I think that vocal element, I mean, you know, I don't use it personally, but I really love it when it's there.
Yeah.
It's done well.
Hmm. Now, would that be original vocals, or would it be sort of quoted material that's been processed?
What he's using right now is original. Yeah, he does. I think he does all of his own, but I don't really know.
Yeah. Okay. Both could happen, I suppose.
Yeah.
But 50% of the time, they put vocal material in there. That's interesting. So tell me what you find compelling about this music.
I think it's just sort of, it's so different from, it's very different in a lot of ways, but also very familiar. He seems to have been building on a lot of conventions that just make music sound really good, and melodically it's very pleasing, but he's using sounds that are really strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's a really accurate description. I mean, it could be from another planet in terms of the sound of it, but it does sound really familiar. Like, you know, it's almost something you would hum as you're walking down the sidewalk to the corner store.
Yep.
It's those little cymbal crashes that I was thinking sounded kind of Asian. You know, they sort of sound like the, you know, the Dragon Parade, clash, 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 clash.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Who else you got lined up there?
So this guy is called Otto von Schirach, and it's a little bit more frantic.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what's happening here. This is very staccato, very, my goodness.
I have no idea.
how would you describe the style?
I guess it's kind of like what some people, well, oh, it's hard to say. It's kind of like a speedcore kind of sound almost in its choppiness.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sort of, you know, constant changes and... a little bit in the rhythmic patterning too, but definitely not in the characteristics of that genre, the characteristic sounds.
But you know that this is what, in the early days of cartoons and animations and stuff, this is how they portrayed computers and robots, right? This is the sound that they would give them.
Yep.
Even, you know, R2-D2 and that kind of from Star Wars.
Yep.
Oh, there's some voice there too. And what kind of following would these producers have? I mean, do they post their music up on SoundCloud and they have lots of followers?
This guy in particular operates out of Florida, and he's kind of been embraced as this like really crazy dance music oddball kind of guy, because he also just does
he'll go and do DJ work.
Yeah, but he'll also do sort of like Halloween every night kind of parties. And you know, it's just really crazy music for very indulgent, crazy people, yeah. I guess, to just go wild to.
Interesting. That brings me to another question I had for you, was how much of this actually gets performed publicly? Like, are there clubs that specialize in this kind of music? And do people search out, you know, clubs that do, you know, a kind of rave night with noise?
I mean, they're out there, for sure. I guess you got to go out the right night.
Yeah. But, yeah. A quiet Monday night, maybe.
Yeah. But actually, you know, a lot of this stuff was, I found Out of Entourage for the first time listening to the CBC from midnight to four when Brave New Waves was still in the air.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of the performer, the producer?
Brave New Waves.
No, was but the show. And what you found, you said?
Otto von Schirach.
Otto von Schirach.
Which is what we were just listening to.
Okay. Oh, so that's how you discovered this performer?
Yep.
On Brave New Waves? That's interesting.
So this is another song. This one's from Mr. Wazzo.
So these are interesting examples of other people making electronic music along the lines of what you are endeavoring to create and compose. And you've listed them as kind of influences that you look up to. What are you currently working on, Sebastian, that you can share with us?
Well, I'm reluctant to share anything, but...
Don't want to give away your good ideas.
Well, I don't know if it's good ideas. They're just very unfinished.
They're kind of raw still. Okay.
Well, I'll give you the first elements of this one song that currently has no title, but here's the sort of foundational element.
Oh, sounds very liquid.
So that's going to repeat for a while, and I guess it'll get processed and maybe chopped up in some strange way.
Right. That's it's an interesting start. I like the sound of that. It's very warm and organic sounding, almost like a heartbeat of the mother kind of thing. A very excited mother. Do you have any other elements yet?
Not for that one. Okay. I might, sometimes I'll sort of start one idea and then put it on the back burner and start another idea and find that they just fit really well together, and I'll merge them.
Hmm. Has that happened yet in this case, or are you still?
It's happened before.
Yeah.
But not in that one.
Okay.
This is another one that the composition, mainly the mix, is not really finished. The bass is a little bit too low, so most people's radios probably won't be able to pick it up.
Oh yeah, it's way down there. Yeah, that sounds like it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
So these are early stages of your next pieces of work. So can people, where can people go to listen to your work, Sebastian? Do you post on, you were saying on SoundCloud?
Yeah. So right now, everything that I have released so far has been on SoundCloud. I have those 7 tracks that we played and a couple of other little experiments here and there. My username is anorchidtexture, but...
An orchid texture, yeah. But we'll put a link up on our website so that people can just, instead of writing down a great big long list of characters, they can just click on that link and then go to your SoundCloud postings and follow your work. Can we go back to your original piece now? And maybe we'll go out on that. We still have about 4.5 minutes or so to listen to maybe the last piece of the 7 pieces to, because I don't know if we... listen to that one very carefully. That would be nice. And in the meantime, just as you're searching for that, I wanted to thank you for coming in and sharing your creations with us. It's quite out of the ordinary and a real insight into this kind of music.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. So what's the name of this piece you're lining up for us here?
This one's called Clementine.
Okay. Thanks again for coming in, Sebastian.
Thanks.